Now Iran has vehemently condemned Canada's move to sell off and hand out tens of millions of dollars worth of seized Iranian government properties in Ottawa and Toronto. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman Abbas Mousavi described the move as illegal and clear contravention of international law. He said Iran will make no compromises in safeguarding its people's rights and called for the immediate restitution of assets. Mousavi warned that if Canada does not reverse its decision and compensate for the damages, that Iran will directly move to restore its rights in accordance with international norms. He stressed the Canadian government will be responsible for all repercussions. Canadian media had earlier reported over $28 million worth of Iranian assets had been distributed among victims of terrorist attacks alleged to have been carried out by Iran-sponsored groups. And now joining us for this news review is Edward Corrigan, international lawyer out of Ontario, and Jason Unruhe, political commentator and analyst, joining us out of Ontario as well. Gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you both to the program. I'm going to start with you, Mr. Corrigan, your thoughts on this.
Well, there's a clear double standard in that people automatically just blame Iran for attacks that there's actually no evidence that Iran was actually involved. You've got, you know, crazy statements. Actually, in the U.S. presidential debate, one of the candidates blamed the Taliban in Afghanistan for the 9/11 attacks, and there's not even a shred of evidence for that. And there's a court decision, which the Iranian government did not contest, that held the Iranian government responsible. And there's a lawsuit right now going on against Saudi Arabia, and the FBI has just authorized the release of a Saudi government official's name in part of that lawsuit. But the double standard is that Iran is not, you know, involved in terrorism. But if you want to look for terrorism, you look at the CIA, you look at MI6 and the policies of the British and American governments supported, unfortunately, by Canada.
And I'm going to swing over to you, Jason Unruhe. Your initial thoughts on this, please.
Well, this is, as much as your other guest says, is a complete act of hypocrisy by Canada. There is not a single shred of evidence that Iran was involved in any kind of terrorist activity whatsoever. I'm sure if they did have evidence, they'd be placing it all over the news and trying to tell everyone all across the world all about it. I think this is just another imperialist pressure move by the Canadian government in conjunction with the United States to simply steal assets that belong to Iran and then hand them off to whomever so that Canada can try to portray itself as having sympathy for victims of terrorism. Yet this same kind of sympathy is not extended to the people that are murdered by Canadian mining companies, particularly in Latin America. There have been a number of people who have been killed for simply being union activists in many South American companies. In fact, Canada has the world's worst human rights record when it comes to mining in the entire world. And if this were true, and Canada is so concerned about deaths or terrorism, then it certainly has a lot to explain with its involvement in the Afghanistan war, which has cost the lives of over 1.5 million people. Yet Canada does not seem very interested in these lives, which has certainly have been taken by NATO forces, not to mention the plight of First Nations people inside the country who are living in at or below third world standard levels of living, who frequently face police repression, murder, and often some of the most heinous human rights abuses in the entire country. So Canada to simply suddenly say that it has concern for human rights over alleged actions by Iran with no evidence, yet there's clearly a great deal of wrong that has been done by the Canadian public that the Canadian government has certainly turned a blind eye to.
And Mr. Corrigan, I'm glad that Jason alluded to that, because that is a very slippery slope when you're going to set this kind of precedent. You got to be willing to accept the fact that you and your allies have used proxies, you know, throughout the Middle East and other parts of the world to carry out nefarious activities. So if you're going to try to hold Iran accountable for something that an ally did, well, guess what? The day may come where you have to account for your allies as well.
Well, I think the double standard would apply in that, there's lots of opportunity where the American government went in and Anil murdered millions of people in Southeast Asia. The Afghanistan incident was all a false pretext and went in there for oil, even though, you know, there's lots of manipulation. And unfortunately, the corporate media in Canada, the United States, and to a lesser extent in Europe, has lost all sorts of objectivity and just accepts the propaganda pieces that are sort of served out of the Pentagon and other, you know, conservative interests and from the industrial military complex. So, you know, the standard is, there's a book written years ago called The Terror Network, and I think it was James Sterling, but there's a rebuttal, The Real Terror Network, where Edward Herman used the same criteria and found that, you know, it was about 100 times worse what the Americans were doing and supporting in terms of, you know, military dictatorships, death squads, you know, overthrowing governments, resulting in the deaths of thousands of people. The government in Salvador Allende in Chile was overthrown on September 11th, 1973. And, you know, these thousands of people, Philip Agui he was a member of the CIA, and his job was to give lists of people, unionist activists, human rights activists, teachers, whatever, leaders that were to be, you know, killed and murdered by the Paraguay government. Okay. And he's written books about this inside the company, you know, so there's, you know, everything that we do in the West is okay, but anything that anybody does against that is terrible. And, you know, it's just, you know, such a glaring double standard, you know, and the coverage is terrible. For example, the United European Parliament, or not the Parliament, but the courts, just overruled and said that Hamas cannot be described as a terrorist organization. I have seen no coverage of that other than in the alternative press, but it's the same thing. Hezbollah has the right to defend itself and to remove Israeli occupation forces from Lebanon, which are still there. Yet, you know, the United States and Israel and other people call it a terrorist organization when it doesn't meet any of the criteria. And, you know, you people have a right to self-defense. People have a right to try to remove foreign occupiers, like in Gaza with Hamas, or in the West Bank, same thing in Lebanon, other places. So, you know, it's the media. There's this knee-jerk reflective action, you know, that we absolve ourselves of any problems, or it's an aberrant behavior or some rogue group, even though we keep doing the same things over and over again. And as a result, you know, many, actually hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of innocents have been killed.
And Jason, your final thoughts on this, bud?
Well, I think it's very, very typical of the way Canada has portrayed itself across the world. While we are a junior partner in imperialism, we have certainly stood shoulder to shoulder with many of the greatest human rights abuses in history. As we have said, we were against the Vietnam War. We had no problem with making billions of dollars off of the U.S. war machine during that time. We like to portray ourselves as progressive and not police, but peacekeepers in the world, when in fact, we are just a smaller version of what the United States and the U.K. have been doing to the entire world.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us out of Ontario, Mr. Edward Corrigan and Jason Unruhe. And viewers, that's a wrap for this segment of your Press TV's News Review. Thanks for tuning in, and goodbye for now.